I'm gonna have to use my indoor voice. It's a really great privilege to be with you, and there's no way I could say everything I want to say. So what I try to do is encapsulate. My ministry is so simple, really. When I tell pastors about it, they say, "So what's your philosophy and missiology?" And I take my Bible and I say, "I'd like to take my Bible to people who've never heard the gospel and personally, individually, win them to Christ." That's my goal. And then one step further than that is to reach those that no one else is reaching. Have you ever heard of the country of Tajikistan? Some people have. Most, when I ask them, say that they're not really sure where that is. It's a country above Afghanistan on the border of China. And it's a, for all intents and purposes, 100% Muslim country. And to bring the gospel there, you can't stand on a street corner. You could stand on a street corner and proclaim the gospel, but it would be short-lived. You'd be deported at best. And there were just some mountain bikers a few months ago that were just killed because the Taliban didn't like them riding their bikes in that country. Two Americans, two from the United Kingdom, and they just hit them with the car and got them out of this eternity, into eternity, out of this life. But if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you get to spend eternity with Him in heaven. Amen. And this short video, it's 3 minutes long. It's in two parts. First is to show how extreme Christ is. Extreme in His love. Extreme in His grace. Extreme in everything. There's no way we can do that in just 3 minutes, but I'm going to try. And then the second part of this video is just a brief explanation of my ministry. So here we go.
Let's go.
you have your Bibles, turn in them to the book of Mark. I want to thank Pastor Dean and Stephanie for allowing us and church. Thank you very much for allowing us to come. This is a great honor. What kind of prayer card, and I do have prayer cards out on a table back there in the foyer, what kind of prayer card would the Apostle Paul have? Stop and think, what kind of ministry, if he were being interviewed by a current day pastor and they said, Paul, to which field do you go? And he would say, well, I really try to be led of the Spirit of God and go to where God is calling me to. And they'd say, but what country, Paul? And he's, if you read the Bible and you know it, it's always like, well, I'd like to go to Spain, you know, and he's got all these ideas of where he'd like to preach Christ. In fact, there were times where he had it in his heart to go to a certain place and the Holy Spirit forbade him and said, you're not going there, Paul. So on my prayer card, I don't have just one country, because when opportunities arise, as they did this past weekend, partial weekend, and just a few days ago, I was in the country of Iceland, and I'm a little bit scatterbrained and a little bit distracted. I have my phone here, and I got a text this morning. I was in the country of Iceland, and you saw there's workers from Spain in Iceland, and they make a better living there than they can in their own country of Spain, so they'll go there and live there for a while, and they need Christ, amen? Who's going to reach them for Christ? I mean, it's very difficult to establish a church there. There are two Baptist churches that I know of in the country of that entire island. After I was there, I sent a targeted Facebook post to the whole island. You see, it is a state-run religion there, the Evangelical Lutheran Church. And the priests, which are both men and women priests, are taught at the University of Iceland. And I got to have an interview with the professor. She's the lady mainly in charge of the training of the Evangelical Lutheran priests on the entire island. Ladies and gentlemen, that country has had missionaries, Christian missionaries, since the year 930, trying to reach the Vikings. That country is like my 1978 Land Cruiser that I had when I was in Bolivia. It's been built over so many times, Catholic Church versus Evangelical Lutherans versus everybody. And guess what? The majority of that island is unsaved and doesn't know Christ. I targeted a Facebook post there this past week after visiting, thanking the country for allowing me to be there. And I got some great responses. Listen to this one. This is by a man named Reiner Hutterdinson. Hey, Extreme Mission Evangelism, thanks for visiting and great that you like Iceland. I would, however, like to ask you to keep your religion and beliefs to yourself. When you get that, it kind of cuts you to the heart, because Jesus represents peace and love and joy and eternal life. Amen? I wrote him back, Reiner, thanks for expressing your thoughts. Your beautiful country speaks loudly of Christ, even in the smallest villages, with the cross of Christ raised high on 1,000 little steeples. Your history and hymns already speak more of Christ than I ever could. If they just look at what their history has been and how the preachers have gone over that country preaching Christ. And it's like Jesus who said, I would that you would just come under my wings and listen to what I've been telling you for hundreds of years. It's incredible. Listen to this one. This was just this morning as I was preparing to come here. And I know I'm never going to get through everything this morning. Every one of those pictures are an incredible testimony to the grace of God. There was a picture that was shown with me circled around a bunch of children holding books. That book that they all had was a big gospel tract in their indigenous language, Aymara, or Quechua. I can't remember which one that was. And it was an orphanage in the middle of a swamp in Bolivia, an Indian reservation. And those children heard the gospel. There's no church for a long ways off. They're just children living in the middle of a reservation with no other way to get the gospel. And I was privileged. Isn't that an awesome privilege to be able to break the bread of life to those children? Wow. Okay. See, I get distracted real easy. Are y'all still with me? All right. Here's the text I got while I was preparing for this morning. It's from another man named Elnar Agin. He says, I am thinking we go with science instead because of reason, logic, and progress. You know, that's what he said. His words were because of reason, logic, and progress. There's a heart beating over in Iceland who typed these words this morning. It's so incredible, isn't it? And he's talking that his salvation, as it were, lies in reason, logic, and progress. And I simply wrote back, Elnar, I get that. I really do. I love technology, but don't miss out on love, joy, peace, forgiveness. Don't neglect that you have a soul. You are infinitely more than logic. Thanks for your thoughts, Elnar. And imagine, that is the current thinking. It's logic and technology. What do we need religion for? We don't need religion. We need Christ. We need the peace and the joy. Amen? You gotta understand, I'm really into joy and into peace and into, as you can see, taking the love of Christ as far as we can take it with our lives. That's what we're doing here on earth, right? Okay, so you see the starfish? Have you heard the story of the little girl who saw, after a storm, thousands of starfish washed up on the beach? And she went down and she's bent down and one by one she's picking up little starfish and she's throwing them into the ocean, and these people on the balcony are kind of scoffing and like, little girl, there's millions of starfish. You're not going to make a difference. So one kindly old gentleman walks down to her and he says that to her and says, sweetheart, there's a whole lot of starfish. You're really not going to make a difference. You want to just come up out of the cold? And she said, no, I'm doing good. And she bent down and she held a little starfish in her hand and she looked at the older gentleman and she said, you say that it doesn't make a difference? Well, it makes a big difference to this one. And she throws it in. I was a little starfish. Someone came to me, a kid from Cleveland, Ohio, Catholic kid, and shared with me the gospel of Jesus. And here I am standing and preaching Christ to you today. Is that not miraculous? Ladies and gentlemen, we should never get over the miracle of God. And we should never get over the huge, extreme responsibility that Christ has given us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you there in the book of Matthew chapter 16? I'm sorry, I said Mark. Sorry. Mark 16. We have an extreme mission from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all read it together. Mark 16 and verse number 15. You probably have this memorized, but I couldn't think of a better verse for a missions emphasis. Amen? Let's all read this together. Mark 16, verse 15. Ready? And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have a situation where the stakes are extreme. Read the next verse along with me if you could. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. When I was growing up, I mean, I was born in Dayton, raised in Columbus. My dad was a salesman. We moved to Cleveland. If I were to have said that word damned in my household, I would have gotten in big, big trouble. Because that was a bad word. I knew that. You know why it's such a bad word? Because that means you're separated from Christ for all eternity. Unless one believes in Christ, they are damned. That is, you have to admit, those are high stakes, aren't they? Eternity with Christ forever in his glory, or separated from him in a lake of fire. Aren't those extreme? This is our faith, right? Can you see the responsibility, the extreme responsibility we have to preach the gospel to every creature? Good thing we have an extreme authority for this mandate from on high. You have heard the Great Commission, that term. I would like to say it's an extreme commission. And we have a great authority, don't we? Is not Jesus Christ himself the one who said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Right? He's the one who told us to do this, right? He's the extreme authority. All power, he says, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm just going to ask you, he has the authority to tell us what to do. Amen? He does. And we have this extreme commission to go into some parts of the world. No, go into A-L-L, all the world. This is the scary part. This is you could talk about Tajikistan and Iceland and somehow it sounds kind of romantic and exciting, but if I say, go to your neighbor, bring a cup of cold water or a pecan pie or something and preach the gospel to them. Wow. All the world, really, preacher? We got to go that far? I'll take it even further. Go into your family and preach the gospel to your wayward son or daughter or to your own grandchildren. Wow, what a ministry, what a field. All the world. It's extreme, isn't it? And yes, the far-off lands, and I've heard preachers say, but Brother Weeks, don't you understand that we have tons of nationalities that are coming here to the United States? We do. And we have tons of believers that can minister to them in this land. But they are still far and few, those who are willing to go to the utmost, to the uttermost for Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? Who has a responsibility to hear the gospel more? Someone that lives on the backside of Iceland? Or you? We have an equal responsibility to reach those next to us and those that are far, far away. Right? It's an extreme inclusivity. Some of these people that would write on my Facebook page would say something like, that's so narrow. Heaven's only for those that believe. Well, that is true. Heaven is only for those that believe. Amen? Jesus said, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. However, all are included. We are to preach the gospel to every creature. That's inclusivity. Everyone has an opportunity to hear the gospel and be saved. Your pastor sliced this picture and put me on, I saw me standing there in your foyer. From this picture, those guys on either side of me kind of represent the border of Uzbekistan and Tajikistan in the mountains, a place you could Google this, those of you who are interested in one of the most incredible places on earth. Very isolated. It's called Haftkul, Tajikistan. Haftkul in Farsi language means seven lakes. These guys administer some type of program there, and they're just out in the middle of, well, they're on the border of Uzbekistan and Tajikistan. They're Muslim men. Now, how many of you listen to Bible stories in the car? Can I see your hand? How many of you listen to audio Bible while you're driving? How many of you listen to Christian radio? Anybody? You guys are shy to raise your hand. These guys, when I got a ride in their vehicle, were listening to fundamental Muslim stories. I can't understand Farsi language, but when I hear Abraham, I know that's Abraham. And when I hear Isaac, I know Isaac. And I know that they're talking about Isaac, Ishmael on Mount Moriah. Because they believe Ishmael was the one who was to be killed by Abraham, not Isaac. And it was so interesting listening to these two guys in Farsi talk about their religion. They may have known I was a Baptist preacher by that point while I was in their car. But they weren't doing it to show me how religious they were. They had a recorded little audio and they're listening to Bible stories in their car in the middle of nowhere. Some people are very serious about their faith. And by the way, I'm sure I won't have time to get to that story about those guys. But I had an opportunity to preach Christ to them. If you could flip over to Acts 1:8 very quickly. Acts 1:8. The Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the," what? "Uttermost parts of the earth." Okay, I got some really exciting news for you this morning. When Jesus said in that verse, "ye shall," when Jesus says something's going to happen, like "ye shall," that's prophetic. He's saying, here's what's going to happen. Ye shall. And when Jesus says, "ye shall be my witnesses," when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you're going to witness for me. You're going to bear witness of my name. If you go across the street and witness to your neighbor. If you live for Christ in your neighborhood, in your community, and bear witness of Christ, you are fulfilling prophecy. You say, but preacher, I'm not in the uttermost part of the earth. Actually, if you live in Iceland or Tajikistan or in the Darien Gap or some place other than here, this is far off. What I'm trying to say is when we bear Christ, we fulfill this prophecy. We are his witnesses to the uttermost part of the earth. I have had a great privilege to go to what we would consider faraway places. For example, a few days ago in Iceland. Part of my ministry really is to prove that it is not that hard to obey Christ in fulfilling the Great Commission. You can put one foot in front of another foot, and you can open your mouth and tell someone about Christ here. And in this day and age, that one guy said, I believe in progress. I believe in progress. I love progress. Do you know what this thing is right here? This is a blessing machine and an evangelizing tool. And you have the power in the palm of your own hand to reach the world for Christ right here. That's amazing! If you would have told someone 100 years ago, you really got to go tell those people about Christ in Iceland, you really would just have to physically get on a boat and go. I mean, and it would take months, and then you might be able to talk to 10 people, you know, if you walk really fast in Iceland, or if you get a horse, maybe you could talk to 100 if you could gather them. I just sent out a post, and people are, real living beings are replying to the challenge of the gospel in this post. You have that power. It's an amazing thing. By the way, you can also text someone and say, I love you. I hope you're having a great day today. That's powerful. This is a blessing tool. This is an evangelizing tool. Amen? I'm just saying we have opportunities. Or this would be maybe the negative way to say it. We don't have any excuse for not being obedient to Christ. Amen? It's getting kind of quiet in here, preacher. We have extreme promises to accomplish his will. I'd like you to turn now where we will remain. We won't flip around from here, but Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3. Would you agree with me that Jesus has given us an extreme commission to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature? If you think that's extreme, say amen. It is. It's... He didn't say, just do a little bit for me. Try to just kind of maybe once in your life do something. He said, church, I've given you my spirit. You're going to be witnesses to me to the uttermost part of the earth. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every... That's extreme. But we have extreme promises to match. And I'd like to, if you would, read along with me Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. We're reading a promise. This isn't just for preachers. It's for children in fifth grade. And it's for elderly folks on a fixed income. And it's for you. And it's for me. And it's God's word. You believe God's word? Okay, this promise is for you. Here we go. Let's read. Ready? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now unto him. We have power to succeed in Christ because we've just read that he is able. That phrase in that verse, he is able. God can do anything. I love that one verse in the Bible that says, is anything too hard for the Lord? There was this one man that was in Romania on a ship and he left his cell phone and his wallet on the seat of this little ferry getting back to the mainland. And he walked off the ferry and the thing went, and it closed the gate and he goes, my wallet, my phone. He's like, it's gone forever. This young guy, his son-in-law-to-be that had just gotten saved not many months prior, said, let's just believe God for it. And this evangelist missionary guy in Romania goes, in his heart, he said, that kid doesn't really understand, or something like, God can't do that. And this young guy was like, we're going to pray and God's going to get you your wallet and your phone back. And he's like, yeah, okay. Had he admitted he had absolutely no faith. Like, not like this kid. And the kid's like, I'm praying for you, pops, you know. And the guy's like, oh, I can't stand this kid, you know. I've lost my wallet. Now he's just praising God already, you know. You know how the story ends. He called a friend. He said, oh, I know the conductor of, or whatever you call the captain of that ship. I'm going to make sure. He goes, yeah, whatever. In a couple hours while they're waiting at the airport, here comes his phone and his wallet and that young kid going, woohoo, I knew God could answer. I knew it. And that guy's heart was smitten because he did not even venture to trust God with something really so small. When he's there to preach Christ and pray for the miracle of miracles that someone would accept the gospel, and yet God could never get my wallet and phone. He did. He can. Some people say, preacher, I probably shouldn't have, but I prayed I'd get the front parking spot. Pray for the front parking spot. Pray for everything. Pray for your children. Had one person say, my dog's sick, preacher, but I shouldn't ask prayer. I said, why not? Is not God our Heavenly Father? Wouldn't you ask your real dad? Unto him that is able to do the little stuff and the big stuff according to the power. Oh, no, wait. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above some of the stuff we ask and think. Is that what it says? He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. My wife and I have 6 children. A few years ago, God called us to the mission field of Bolivia. And honestly, I was kind of like the guy with the wallet, like, Lord, I don't think this is going to work. You know, like, I don't think this is going to work. And we just kept going forward. And we raised our support in like a year and a half with 6 children. And we flew our family to Bolivia. And we wake up in bed. My wife and I, she could tell you, we wake up and we go, where are we? How did that happen? And I'm walking down the streets of Bolivia, and I'll tell you, professional people make me nervous. They're so intelligent, like your pastor with the, you know, he could be president of the United States. But they're very sharp, and we lived in a college town, and these people were so intelligent and sharp and PhD, and even especially the women intimidated me. They were so intelligent, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know, how would I win anybody to Christ here? My wife and I had a VBS. You know, where you invite the children. And all these kids came, and my poor wife was in the back with like 100 kids. And, you know, it just so happens that all the workers were sick that day or something. So she's got all these Bolivian children in the back room, and I've got all the adults in the front, and I'm preaching Christ, and that service went long. I'm still sorry about that. And after it was over, this lady named Lydia, do you know that name from the Bible, Lydia? A seller of purple? She's the one who said, What must I do to be saved? Began that story of what must I do to be saved. But the Bible says about Lydia that the Lord opened her heart. And in Bolivia, this woman named Lydia said, could you come to my house? And I got some questions about the Bible. And my wife and I did. And she trusted Christ. And she worked at the college. And she was one of those ladies that intimidated me. You know, like, she's so smart. Here's how you win a PhD to the Lord. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't get any deeper than that. He loves us. The Bible says so. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Okay, so why? In the early church, did they turn the world upside down for Christ? Why and how did 12 disciples just change everything, and we're here in this country so far away from where it all started, attending church on this day? Where's the power in our life? How do we get it? Why can't we do amazing things for Christ? Well, it's all the Bible. We have to consider the power that worketh in us. Brother Dean, what time do I need to stop? Okay, I'm going to get it there. All right, we can do this. If you think I can do it, say amen. Ooh, some of you have confidence. The power that worketh in us. That's where it's all at. Because it says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And people say, sweet, it's going to get done because I can ask and think. But wait, according to the power that works in you. You got to engage the power of God. You can't just... I say this now. If you think that I'm wrong, you can... You can tell me. I mean, you can think it's a free country. But I know this, that Jesus tells the truth. And he's going to say to people who have been faithful, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He's going to say that to what kind of servants? Good and faithful. He's not going to say it. Now, I'm not telling the Lord what to say, but I don't think that if you sit on the couch eating bonbons your whole Christian life, not concerned about the loss, not coming to church, not getting involved, not giving, you say, "Yeah, but I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven." Well, I don't know the words Jesus will choose. But I don't think it's going to be, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," if you know what I mean, right? We must needs do something for the Lord. I can't remember which president said that. He said, "By all means, do something." We've got to do something for Christ. And when we engage the power that worketh within us, we have the extreme power of the Word of God. Do you know that there's power in this Word? The Lord Jesus Christ, who by all things consist, Jesus holds everything together by the power of his word, the Bible says, spoke the universe into existence, every island on this earth, every continent. And then I love that part in Genesis where it says, "And he made the stars also." I mean, you've looked into the universe, right? And how many stars there are and the incredibleness of what's out there. He did that through the power of his word. You cannot have the power of God on your life separate from the Word of God. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Unless you abide in me, you can do nothing." All things are possible with God, but not aside from his Word. We have to be in his Word. We have the extreme power of his word. I'm just going to read this verse from Hebrews 1:3. You don't have to turn there. "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person," talking about Christ, "and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins," amen, "sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." That's Hebrews 1:3. Folks, we have the power of his resurrection. One of my favorite, well, I think that most of my memory verse comes from the Apostle Paul. Maybe the whole book of Philippians. Philippians 3:10. Paul is near the end of his life, and he says, "That I may know him." Can you imagine that? Paul, you've spent time in prison on the mountains preaching, and you're still wanting to know him? Do you want to know him more? Do you have a hunger and thirst to know him more? And the Apostle Paul says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection." He's still trying to figure out what it is that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the power of his resurrection. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 2:20. You know how you memorize Galatians 2:20? It's like getting a shot of 220 volts into your whole body. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." That's the power of his resurrection. The Bible says that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. That's how he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Is this making sense? Are you still with me? Here's something I think that we have as Christians not even approached the potential of. Faith. Simple, childlike faith. I'm going to read the words of Christ from Mark 11:23. Have we gotten here yet? I remember one time a Bible student said, I looked at his curriculum and I said, "Why isn't the book of John on your curriculum?" And he said, "Oh, that book's easy. We don't really need to look at that one." That book's easy? Have you mastered love one another as I have loved you? I mean, we've got a long way to go on things. Amen? How about faith? Listen to what Jesus says about it. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed,' and 'Be thou cast into the sea,' and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith." Jesus isn't lying, and he's not just speaking just some fancy words to, "Wow, that's a great quote." It's true. If we have faith as a mustard seed, we can do amazing things through Christ. Amen? We have the power of His Holy Spirit, don't we? If you're saved, you have the power of the Holy Spirit. I was teaching a young marrieds class, and we sat down and had the best class I think I've ever had, Sunday school class. We talked about the difference between a married couple with Christ and the Holy Spirit and a married couple who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, doesn't have the Holy Spirit. What should the difference be? We listed a list a mile long of the power that a couple has with the power of God. The Holy Spirit guides us. He gives us power. He gives us peace. He gives us consolation. He gives us wisdom. Oh, wow! We got so much that a couple without Christ doesn't have. It's amazing, isn't it, that the statistics are about the same? For divorce and breakups and all that. It's amazing. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read Jesus' words once more. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. We have the power of His Holy Spirit. We have the power, the extreme power of the gospel. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul again in Romans 1:16, you may have this verse memorized, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For, do you know what the next words are? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is the power of God. You know where Jesus says, if salt were to lose its saltiness, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out. I have a little inkling that the saltiness that the church, that our churches have lost, is the saltiness of the gospel. I guarantee you will not live a boring, meaningless life when you open your mouth and share Christ with other people. It may not be easy, but it adds saltiness to your life. And you come home saying, oh, wow, that was amazing. If someone saves Christ, you rejoice. If they reject Him, you feel the sting of the saltiness in your wounds, as it were. And it makes us alive. It's the power of God. It is our reason for being, church, to proclaim Christ. Amen? Someone shared the gospel with you. You were the starfish who was about to die without Christ. No one's born saved. Someone had to impart the gospel to you. How shall they hear? Without a preacher. Someone told you about Christ. Somehow. And you, little starfish, got thrown into the sea of God's forgiveness and love. And you have a life now to live for Him. Wow. We have extreme promises and extreme power to accomplish His extreme mission. We just have to engage. It says, all that we ask or think, I guess we're just not asking. And we're just not thinking great things for Christ. Because He's able, isn't He? To do exceeding abundant all that we ask or think. Preacher?